welcome to episode 157 of Rain Delay Radio. I'm Pat, and it's just me today. Quick episode. Not a lot of news this week. We did have four signings, which I'm going to go over and kind of give my thoughts on. But yeah, other than that, you know, just me today. You're all gifted with the joy of just hearing my beautiful voice today. You know, everyone's a bit busy this week, but next week we'll have more than just me. That said, my day's going pretty well. Cowboys got blown out by the Packers. It was great to watch. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Can't wait for the Eagles season to end tomorrow so I can no longer invest in that team until next year. It'll be great for my mental health. With that said, let's get right into it. So we've got four signings this week. And really, that's all that the news was this week, was just these four signings. The first one was one that we've been waiting on for a while. Curious as to where it'd go. And that is Shota Imanaga. He has agreed to a contract. Obviously, much to the chagrin of our good friend Naeem. He is signing with the Chicago Cubs for 4 years, $53 million. And the Cubs have an option that they can execute after the second year, which will make it a 5-year, $80 million contract, should they choose to execute the option. So my initial thoughts on seeing this, I was expecting more for him. In terms of monetary value, I kind of had a feeling he was going to get more than 4 years, $53 million. Honestly, like, awesome job by the Cubs to get him that cheap. Like, even if they don't use that option to make it 5 years, 80, 4 years, 53 mil is fantastic. And like, if he's terrible, like, this isn't a bad deal. Like, this is probably, you know, number four starter money, essentially. I mean, this is cheaper than what the Phillies gave Taijuan Walker. I mean, this is really good for the Cubs. And if he ends up being good, I mean, this works out even better for them. It was a matter of time until he actually started spending money and really did anything this offseason, because they haven't done a thing. They haven't made a signing. I actually don't think they made a transaction yet. I think this is their first transaction, which is kind of wild because, like, they were a fringe playoff team last year. So I'm kind of surprised that this is the first, like, move they're making here. So he will go ahead and step into a rotation with Justin Steele, Jameson Taillon, Drew Smyly, and Kyle Hendricks. My guess is he's either the second or third starter. I guess it depends on, you know, what they expect from Taillon coming into this upcoming season. I mean, Taillon did not have a very good year this year, 2023, sorry. Kyle Hendricks was decent in 2023. He could also be the two guy. You know, who knows? I mean, we know Justin Steele's the ace of the team, and, you know, Shota coming in. I think Shota is going to succeed. I think it's awesome that he's going to go to Chicago because they needed a guy like this. And, you know, just more stability into that rotation. And, you know, I think he's going to be decent. His press conference, he said, hey, Chicago, what do you say? Go Cubs, go, or something like that. Whatever that saying is that Cubs fans do. Forgive me for not getting it right. I am uncultured in the way of the Cubs. The only time I've ever really cared for the Cubs was 2016, because, I mean, that was just an awesome postseason run they had. Yeah, good. This is a good deal for the Cubs. This is a really good deal for them. I really, really like this. And, you know, if he succeeds, like, that's awesome. Like, you got a good dude at a cheap rate in this economy, in this pitching economy. And, you know, hopefully he's a guy that can give them innings, which is what you want. So I think this is a great signing for the Cubs. I think they did very, very well here by bringing this guy in for this much. We know the finalists were the Giants and the Red Sox and another team. Red Sox, I believe I said last week I expected the Red Sox to be in on him. Very unfortunate for them that they missed out. They needed that kind of piece in the rotation, but it just kind of shows where the Red Sox are at right now as a team. The Giants, I'm going to get into the Giants and my whole thoughts on them in a little bit, simply because they don't have anyone at the moment. That's not what I mean. I'll get into them in a little bit. It's just extremely funny how these last few off seasons have gone for the Giants. And then there was a third team involved. I don't know what team that was. I remember, so there were a lot of articles coming out of Japan linking the Phillies to Imanaga for whatever reason. I don't know why those articles kept getting published over in Japan. Maybe the Phillies were in on him. I doubt it. But it was kind of interesting that there were those articles. I think the Yankees were in on Imanaga too. No. The Yankees said they didn't want to sign him because he was possibly not going to be a fit in Yankee Stadium. But I think he's going to be a good fit in Chicago. I think it's a good deal for them. Real cheap. And, the kind of guy you want on that team in this economy on that deal. So, good for the Cubs. Speaking of the Yankees being a move this week, Marcus Stroman is signing with the Yankees for 2 years, $37 million. And that's going to include a year three option. It's funny, like last week, we were talking about Stroman showing interest in wanting to be a Yankee, and the Yankees saying no, simply because of all the words that Stroman had said in the past regarding the Yankees organization. Well, now he is a New York Yankee. Marcus Stroman was a guy that, like, for years, like, I've been convinced, like, when this dude goes on the market, he's going to get paid. And, like, 2 years, $37 million is not what I expected from him. But, like, I get it because he had the injury issue last year. And, when he came back, he was just god-awful. It makes sense that he didn't get the deal that he was expecting. But, like, looking at his innings here, like, 136 last year, 138 the year before. It kind of makes sense why he didn't get the big contract because of those issues. His initial contract he had, what was the initial one he signed? He was making $25 million the last 2 years with the Cubs. And I forget what the contract he signed with the Cubs was for. But regardless, he's going to the Yankees. This is an interesting partnership. Number one, he's already gotten into it with Yankees fans after signing with the team. Took 30 minutes for him to block a Yankees fan on Twitter, which is actually a Yankees fan that made an image of him in a Yankees jersey. So it's funny that they made the image for him and then he blocks them. So 30 minutes it took Marcus Stroman to get in an argument with Yankees fans. Very funny. As far as rotation fit, okay. I mean, the Yankees certainly needed another guy in that rotation. They lost Luis Severino to the Mets. So I would say this is more a lateral move rather than, this is not much of a lateral move. Luis Severino was garbage last year. I'm pulling up the Yankees rotation. But assuming it all goes well, it looks like the Yankees rotation right now is Gerrit Cole, Carlos Rodon, Clark Schmidt, Nestor Cortez, Marcus Stroman. Not a very good rotation, I'd say, aside from Gerrit Cole and, like, Nestor when he's on. I do think Clark Schmidt has the potential to be a decent starter. I do think he's going to kind of a breakout year this year. But like looking at this Yankees rotation, man, you know, it's not good. And they traded a lot of pitching pieces away when they traded for Juan Soto. And like, again, the issue with the Yankees always has been health and keeping guys healthy. And you're bringing in a starter that's very injury prone. I mean, 136 innings last year, 135 the year before. That's not necessarily what you want out of a guy that's, you know, could be your number three. I look at this Yankees rotation. Gerrit Cole's able to stay healthy. He has no issues with that. Clark Schmidt has shown for the most part that he can stay healthy, but Carlos Rodon cannot ever stay healthy. Nestor Cortez dealt with injury issues last year. And Marcus Stroman has dealt with injury issues his entire career. So, you know, there's a great chance that, you know, even on opening day, you know, knowing the luck that the Yankees have, that basically 3/5 of their rotation could be on the injured list. It's very possible. It's a very injury-prone rotation with an already injury-prone lineup as well. I mean, Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, Anthony Rizzo, DJ LeMahieu, those guys can't ever stay healthy. You know, it took, you know, Judge having one healthy season, you know, and like, he doesn't stay healthy. Stanton is just a giant walking injured list advertisement. LeMahieu has had a hard time staying healthy. You know, it's rough there for those guys. And, like, the youth you have coming in, you know, like Jason Dominguez was supposed to be a guy in the outfield this year for them, and he's going to miss most of the year because of Tommy John surgery. I mean, Volpe showed he could stay healthy. But, like, we'll see, man. You know, the Yankees, they suck at keeping their dudes healthy. I don't think Stroman really moves anything for them. I mean, it's great that you have a guy in your rotation that has high upside, but he's a ground ball pitcher. And I don't think Yankee Stadium's a good fit for him. I think he would have been better off going elsewhere, but hey, money's money. And I don't think a lot of teams were showing interest in him, considering what he got for how little. So, I don't know. But I don't think it's a good fit for the Yankees. I think it's going to be rough for them. I don't like it. I don't like it. We'll see, though. We'll see if he can stay healthy there. All right, next signing. This is the one that is comical. So these next two are comical. This is the more comical of the two. And it's Jordan Hicks signs with the Giants, 4 years, $44 million. And he's going to be a starter for the Giants. Let's say that again. Jordan Hicks got 4 years, $44 million. And he's going to be a starter for the Giants. Now, keep in mind, Jordan Hicks has not started a game since, as I pull up his baseball reference here, he has not started a game since 2022. He was, I believe he had injury issues that year. You know, Hicks is a guy that's had injury issues. And to try and convert him to a starter is insane, unless, like, he's going to be a guy that, like, yeah, you're going to start the game and you're going to throw three innings and then you're out. Like, it's a one-time through the batting order guy, sure. But, like, first off, $44 million for Jordan Hicks is absurd, especially over 4 years. Like, the dude has command issues. Like, major command issues. Yeah, he throws heat, but, like, he sucks with his command. He has a hard time staying healthy. Like, I don't know what the Giants are cooking out there. It looks like they're cooking meth. the Giants are just like, how does Farhad still have a job there? Because you look at the last two off seasons for the Giants. Really go back to 2019, honestly, because I think 2019 was when this all started. They've had a rough time, man. They've had a rough time luring free agents over here. You know, you start in 2019. They're going hard for Bryce Harper. You know, they are the top offer on Bryce Harper, in fact. Like they were the top offer there for a while. It was them and the Dodgers for the longest time. And then it seemed like... So there's actually a documentary about this. It's probably going to be hard for people to find. It was produced by the local Philly station that shows the Philly games, but Comcast Sportsnet, called Signing Harper. And they kind of went into the free agency process of Harper and what he went through. And literally up until the last minute, the Giants had the highest bid. And Bryce was going to end up a Giant. Like, that was what was going to happen. And, you know, it seemed like he didn't want to go there, but it was the top offer he was getting. He also had like a four-year 160 offer from the Dodgers, I believe was reported too. Anyways, they have the highest offer for him, and then the Phillies swoop in and get Bryce Harper. So the Giants miss out on Bryce Harper, and they had also missed out on Manny Machado. I don't know if they actually went for Machado. But they missed out on him. So you have that one. You go to 2020. I don't think the Giants really went after anyone. I believe that offseason class was Zach Wheeler, Garrett Cole. They were the two big guys out of that. Let me pull that up. 2020 free agent class. I don't remember them really targeting anyone. Here we go. 2020 free agent tracker. Oh, Anthony Rendon was another guy. I don't think they targeted Rendon. Maybe they did. I don't know. But like those were... Here we go. 2021 free agency. Okay. So yeah, Rendon was a big one. Yeah, Rendon looks like the big one here was Rendon. Strasburg was also a big one, but Strasburg ended up going back to Washington, as we know, and then we all saw, sadly, how that has ended there. Yeah, it looks like the top... Oh, Trevor Bauer was a free agent. No, that's 2021. That's 2021. Yeah, so, anyways, Giants don't really do anything there. Then you go to the 2021 offseason. Giants brought in Kapler as their manager. Didn't really do any other big signings. And they made the playoffs. They won over 100 games in 2021, which was wild because, you know, I don't think anyone really thought they would. So they won 100 games. And then they go into that offseason, and I believe they did target Trevor Bauer and missed out on him as he chose the Dodgers, and we saw what happened with Bauer. And I forgot the 21. Oh, I think they tried to... That's right, they tried to retain Chris Bryant as well. Bryant chose the Rockies. So that was the 2021 Giants offseason. They missed out on guys again. 2022 offseason, which was last year. Yeah, Castellanos, Schwarber, all those guys. Correa. Was Correa? No, Correa wasn't a free agent then. Or what? No, yes, he was. He took the one-year deal with the Twins. Giants didn't get anyone there. Miss out completely. Then we go to last year, and it's Aaron Judge, Carlos Correa. We have the arson Judge incident. They miss out on Judge. When, like, they went heavy for Judge. They missed out on him. And then they signed Carlos Correa. They actually signed the guy. And then said, oh, no, your ankle's an issue. And then Correa signs with the Mets. because the Giants wanted to change the terms of the deal. And then, or was it Mets? And then, I forget how it worked. And then Correa goes back to the Twins. And one of the most insane free agent plates that I can remember. I honestly burned that from my brain. I forget who it was first. It was the Giants first or the Mets first. I believe it was the Giants first, and then he went to the Mets. Anyways, then we get to this offseason. They do bring in Jung Ho Lee. Awesome for them. They got a guy. How good is he? Who knows? I don't know if he's a dude, but like, they miss out on Shota. They heavily whiff on Shohei Ohtani. And like, I believe the Giants even tried to trade for Stanton at one point, and Stanton didn't want to go to San Francisco. It seems like there's a massive problem players have with playing in San Francisco. I don't know if it's because of the ballpark, if it's because of the actual city, because, you know, San Francisco is a rough city. But you know, the Giants have continually whiffed on these guys, and their backup plans are literally Jordan Hicks as a starter. It's insane. It's stupid. And it's not going to work. I think it's absurd. And I'm convinced that Farhan is a sleeper agent for the Dodgers. I'm convinced he's still on their payroll, and they're just paying him to sabotage the Giants, which, honestly, he's doing a grand job at it. Like, they even matched the Shohei offer, and Shohei said, nah, I don't want to. So, you know, San Francisco is not a destination city for baseball anymore. And, you know, they went through all that effort to drive the A's out of Oakland. And the Bay Area is just not a destination area. So, very unfortunate for the Giants and Giants fans. I think this Jordan Hicks thing is going to blow up on them. I think it's going to be rough. Moving on here to our final signing. Teoscar Hernandez is going to sign with the Dodgers. 1 year, $23 million, with $8.5 million deferred to be paid from 2030 to 2039. Teoscar Hernandez, ladies and gentlemen, is getting a one-year deal deferred. That's insane. That is absolutely insane. Props to the Dodgers for doing what they're doing, man. I think Teoscar's a great signing for the Dodgers. Like, that adds to that lineup. And, you know, he's going to play left field. I think it's a great fit. And now you imagine that lineup is what? Mookie, Shohei, Freeman, Smith, Muncy, Teoscar, platoon of Altman, then a platoon of Hayward, Margot, and whoever the shortstop is. I guess Gavin Lux is the shortstop if he's healthy. And that's unfortunate for Miguel Vargas, who now doesn't have a place to play. But, you know, Teoscar's a good signing for them. The Dodgers also traded Yency Almonte and Michael Busch to the Cubs. Let me see if I can find the full return of that trade. I forgot to put this on my outline here. I have an outline I usually follow when I record these. A little behind the scenes. Look at what I do. Here we go. Michael Busch, Yency Almonte were traded to the Cubs in exchange for Jackson Veris and Zaire Hope. So Veris is the number 8 prospect ranked in the Cubs system, and Hope was unranked for an MLB pipeline. This is a fun deal for both teams. Busch will get a chance to start every day in Chicago. I imagine he's going to be their first baseman. I think Chicago's a good spot for him. And, you know, these are prospects that the Dodgers can, you know, they're professional baseball R&D. They're going to be able to get something out of these guys. And also, the Dodgers have Ferris Bueller. They have Jackson Ferris and Walker Bueller. So good for them on having Ferris Bueller. I love what the Dodgers have done this offseason. They've been fun to watch this offseason. They're going to be fun to watch during the regular season. You know, probably be a lot of nights where I fall asleep to Dodgers games again, like I used to. Really, I've always fallen, like, If I can't sleep at night, I need to listen to baseball games. Always the Dodgers I put on. I stopped listening. I stopped listening after Vin Scully retired, for a while, because his voice was always like great to listen to. Like when Utley and all of them were there, I always listened to Scully, and like listening to him call a game is just phenomenal. Like he was the best, and you know, so I stopped really listening to Dodgers games at night, when he left them. But you know, I'm definitely gonna be listening to their radio stuff again. Be a good way to fall asleep again in the Dodgers games, and they've got a fun team, man. They've got a real fun team, and you know, I'm gonna be cheering for their success. When it's not against the Phillies, when it's against the Phillies, you know, the Dodgers are dead to me. But you know, when they're not, they get farther. You know. It's go Dodgers go in my mind. You know, they're a fun team, a fun group of dudes. Like, how can you not want to watch Mookie Betts, Shohei Ohtani, and Freddie Freeman play together? Like, that's such an insane top three of the lineup. Like, I can't remember ever seeing a top three like that in my lifetime. Like, that's just ridiculous. Like, I'm trying to think of a top three lineup like that, and I can't think of it. I really can't. So like that's gonna be fun to watch to see what they do. So yeah, Teoscar to the Dodgers and the Michael Busch trade, and you know, that rounds out all the news. So yeah, short episode here, short news episode, just give an update on what happened, and my overall thoughts. So Cubs are winners, Yankees, Giants I think are losers here. Dodgers, of course, are winners, in my mind. So next week, we're going to be doing our sim episode. I'm working on getting that together. So that should be next week. Who knows? Maybe things will change. There's a big flurry of signings, but the plan currently is to have our sim episode next week. And look, man, this sim was a doozy. I was the White Sox in this sim. I had a blast as the White Sox. I did what should have been done, and I'm going to vehemently defend it on that pod. And you know, I'm going to try to get a group of guys together for that, and we'll have our sim episode hopefully next week. With that said, thank you for taking the 30 minutes out of your day to give this a listen as I update you all on what's happened this week. You know, recording an episode solo is actually harder than it seems. You know, it's hard to keep yourself talking for 30 minutes. Somehow I did it for an hour in the last episode. But you know, when it's just news like this, want to keep it short. Don't want to go on too many rants, and you know, just give my thoughts on everything. You know, sometimes it's hard to do that. Hard to listen to yourself talk for 30 minutes uninterrupted, and like, it's hard to talk for 30 minutes straight in general because like, you don't have time to stop, take a drink while someone else is talking. You know, your throat gets dry, all that fun stuff. I tell you what, it's an art to be able to talk for 30 minutes. I don't know how radio hosts do it. Like, sports talk radio show hosts that do it alone, and they have to go on their little tangents while they wait for callers. I don't know how they do it. I certainly feel like that right now. You know, like one of those, like, you know, just giving some takes, you know. Kind of fun. That said, again, thank you for listening. We'll be back next week. Hopefully with our sim episode. Go over our off-season sim, and hopefully some more news. Hopefully some more guys sign. Thank you for listening. With that said, Rain Delay Radio is produced by Lewis. Rain Delay Radio is edited by Naeem. Our theme music is composed by Chuck Leese. Rain Delay Radio releases every Monday morning, usually at 1 a.m. Eastern Time. Thank you for listening, and have yourselves a great week, and we'll see you next week. Bye!